Renegade Broadcasting, hard-hitting talk radio.
Greetings and good evening. This is Tabitha, and you are listening to Wet Wellness. I hope everybody is doing well and has had a good week so far. And if you haven't already checked it out, there was another article that came out from me on Tuesday titled Israel's Reproduction Program Uses Deceased Sperm Donors. So if you haven't already seen that, check that article out. And tonight I want to pretty much get right into the topic of at hand, and that's going to be mind control and sexuality and how the various mind-controlled agendas that are in place are having an effect on people's sexuality and race as well, but I think the race aspect of it is tied to the sexuality and some of the examples that I'm going to be giving today. So I want to just basically talk about that, and it's really very tragic, but it's a sign of the times, unfortunately. A lot of people seem to be jumping on this this bandwagon, and of course, we know who is behind it. But first, I wanted to read this really crazy article that I happened to find while doing a little bit of searching for this show. And I guess about a month or so back, when I talked about some of the procedures that trainees get when they get a vagioplasty, I talked about different methods that they use. The most shocking was using part of the, I think, the lower intestine to make a neovagina. Well, now they are using fish skin. Yes, fish skin to make a neovagina. So I just wanted to read this little article I happened to find. And that looks like I had favorited the wrong link. 1 second. Okay, this is it. For some reason, I had saved a link about Sephardic Jews, and this must be some information for another show that I'm working on. Well, anyway, here is the show. Here is the article. It's a New York Post article saying that transgender woman gets new vagina made from fish skin. And this was back in May, so about 2 months ago, and this is what they're doing right now. A trans woman had a vagina constructed using the skin of a tilapia fish after her genitals began to shrink and close up following botched surgery. According to surgeons, Maju, 35, has the chance of a, quote, proper sex life and a boost of confidence thanks to the sea creature's skin. The highly complex procedure, called neovaginoplasty, used a tubular-shaped acrylic mold wrapped with the skin of the freshwater fish in the form of a biological prosthesis to rebuild and extend the vaginal canal in a 3-hour operation. The process involved inserting 2 separate molds to create the new vagina. The first device, mounted with the marine membrane, was incorporated inside the vagina over a period of 6 days. In contact with the patient's body, the sterilized and odor-free fish skin displays simulatory cell growth properties. It is rich in type 1 collagen, a substance that promotes healing and has a firmness and elasticity which is as strong and resilient as human skin. The tilapia membrane attached to and recoated the walls of the vaginal canal, acting like stem cells. These were absorbed into the body, transforming into cellular tissue similar to that of an actual vagina. The second device, made from silicone and described as a, quote, very big tampon, is designed to remain inside the vagina for up to 6 months to prevent the walls from closing. Well, of course, the body, or nature, always likes to go back to what it is. All right, I'll continue. Professor Leonardo Bezerra said to Focus on News, "We were able to create a vagina of physiological length, both in thickness and by enlarging it, and the patient has recovered extremely well. She is walking around with ease and has no pain and is urinating normally. In a couple of months, we believe that she will be able to have sexual intercourse. The device can be removed after this period as and when desired." This process is being hailed as yet another breakthrough in gynecological surgery, which is tackling sensitive predicaments such as the use of aquatic animal skin, normally thrown away as a waste product, as a substitute for human regenerative tissue. Speaking to Focus on News, the transsexual patient revealed that she decided to transition 20 years ago with support of her family after realizing in her early teens that she was a woman living in a man's body. So this person had surgery back in 1999, the first time when this was very experimental. And then they developed, something called vaginal stenosis, which means the opening starts getting narrower and shorter, and then the canal collapsed. So then this person had this procedure, which sounds like it's a very, very advanced procedure. People who do this transgender stuff, like I think I've mentioned before in another show, they really give over a lot of their freedom, a lot of their rights to Zog by doing this, because everything needs to be maintained now, kind of like the whole IVF or the posthumous, or however you say that word, thing in Israel has going on with the sperm. It's all about giving away one's innate power, your power of your biological gender or your ability to reproduce. It's about giving that over to Zog. So yeah, just to go through a little bit more of this. So she had this 3-hour operation, and this one surgeon has done this, I guess, to 10 women treating this condition, not using the fish skin, because this fish skin is the first time they're doing this. And it says, I think I've gone through some of this before. Oh, this is really quite horrifying. I will read this piece. The doctor explained that this happens when the stenosis occurs, when the hole, which is not a natural hole, keeps on getting smaller and smaller. The doctor says this is because in the traditional procedure, most of the inside parts of the penis are removed and the penile skin is folded into the space between the urethra and the rectum. The outside skin of the penis then becomes the inside of the vagina. But because the patient has had hormonal treatment to develop female characteristics, there is penile and testicle atrophy, resulting in shrinkage of the size of the penis caused from the loss of tissue. This means the vagina can also be small. So that basically means that the penis that became the vagina or neovagina is now shrinking from the estrogen or the female hormones. To complicate matters more, before surgery could begin, the medical team discovered that apparent levels of incompetence during the original surgery had left more than one narrow vaginal canal. There are remnants of cavernous bodies, erectile tissue structures still in the vaginal space. The presence of these leftovers of the penis aggravated the closure of the vaginal tract, worsening the symptoms. To reverse this problem, by doing a skin graft, usually using the large intestines, wow, crazy. That's usually what's done, but I guess they were able to remedy this using this fish skin, which was considered minimally invasive and no need to do an abdominal incision. I just thought that was really wild, so that's why I shared that. I guess in a way now, since this person has part of a sea creature or a fish in his body, then is this a transsexual, transspecial type of thing going on? I mean, that's what I would say, right? Okay, moving along. Other tranny stories that I found. This is a bit of an interesting story. This comes out of Japan. I'm not sure how old this is, but I haven't heard about this before. This is back in January. But in Japan, the Supreme Court upholds that if you want to change your name on an official document, you want to become a tranny, you have got to sterilize yourself. That's a requirement. So it goes on to say, those who wish to change their gender on official documents must have their original reproductive organs removed. That's the sterilization method, according to the 2004 law. So this has been a law for, I guess, 15 years. And I'm going to go over this one now. This is pretty interesting. I mean, it's very harsh type of ruling. I don't know if this is the right type of law that needs to be done, but I don't know. I mean, I've read articles about here, you know, especially with young women who are transitioning or young men, people who are doing this when they're, you know, children or teenagers, that they're freezing their eggs or freezing their sperm. So when they do want to have a child at a later point, they will use this frozen egg or sperm, and then, of course, you know, using the state, using the government, using Zog to have their children in the future, obviously them not carrying the child or being engaged in the act of, you know, lovemaking, which is insemination. But obviously, you only call it that if it's done in a creepy type of robotic way. But I don't know if that's the solution here, to do something like that to sterilize people. But anyway, I'm going to go over this article and, yeah. Japan's Supreme Court has upheld a law that effectively requires transgender people to be sterilized before they can have their gender change on official documents. The court said the law is constitutional because it was meant to reduce confusion in family and society. See, Japan would definitely not be on board with all this stuff that Israel is completely into and pushing on this country and probably everywhere else. But it acknowledged that it restricts freedom and could be out of step with the changing social, should have a couple of brackets over that one, social values. And here they show a picture of someone whose name is Takakitu Usui, a transgender man, so that would be a woman, cries while speaking during a press conference after Japan's Supreme Court handed down the decision in Okayama, Japan, back in January. The 2004 law states that people wishing to register a gender change must have their original reproductive organs, including testes or ovaries, removed and have a body that, quote, appears to have parts that resemble the genital organs of the gender they want to register. So I guess not only do they have to get sterilized, they also have to go forward with what they call bottom surgery. The unanimous decision by a four-judge panel published Thursday rejected an appeal by this person, Takakitu Usui, a transgender man who said forced sterilization violates the rights to self-determination and is unconstitutional. Usui, 45, had appealed to the top court after he unsuccessfully requested lower courts to grant him legal recognition as a male without having his female reproductive glands surgically removed. Despite the unanimous decision, presiding Justice Mamamoru Muira joined another justice in saying that while the law may not violate the Constitution, quote, doubts are undeniably emerging, according to Usui's lawyer, Tomoyasu Oyama. The two judges proposed regular reviews of the law and appropriate measures, quote, from the viewpoint of respect for personality and individuality, according to Japanese media reports. The Supreme Court decision ended Usui's legal battle, but he and his lawyer said the opinions in the ruling left them with hope. I think the ruling could lead to a next step, Usui told a news conference. I hope to find what constitutes a family of my own that does not fit the traditional mold. That could really mean anything. Human Rights Watch said the Supreme Court ruling was, quote, incompatible with international human rights standards, goes against the times, and deviates far from the best global practices. The New York-based group said the ruling tolerates grave human rights against the ruling tolerates grave human rights violations against transgender people. There is a growing awareness of sexual diversity in Japan, but it is often superficial and generally limited to the entertainment industry. In a country where the pressure for conformity is strong, many LGBTQ people hide their sexuality even from their families because of a fear of prejudice at home, school, or work. Japan does not legally recognize same-sex marriages. As LGBTQ rights awareness has gradually grown in recent years, some municipalities have begun issuing partnership certificates to ease problems in renting apartments and other areas, but they are not legally binding. Lawmakers in the conservative ruling party have repeatedly come under fire, making discriminatory remarks about LGBTQ people. Earlier this year, Katsuyi Hirasawa, a veteran lawmaker, was widely criticized for saying that, quote, a nation would collapse if everyone became LGBTQ. He's got a point. Last year, another ruling party lawmaker, Mio Sugita, was condemned after saying in a magazine that the government shouldn't use tax money for LGBTQ rights because same-sex couples aren't productive. well, these two people just clearly stated the truth. I don't think that I agree with sterilizing people, but in a healthy society, we wouldn't even have this debate of sterilizing people, or removing their genitals, all of this stuff. This wouldn't even be something that we would be debating. This would be pretty much foreign material, essentially. So it's kind of an open can of worms. There's going to be a lot more. I would presume a lot more types of legal battles and legal cases going on, especially when it comes to reproductive rights with trannies, for sure. And of course, who's going to have their hand out for a shekel or two? Yeah. So I thought that was a pretty interesting article, and see how other countries are dealing with these problems. Okay, and I had another thing about trannies too. I saw this somewhere, and it's just a meme, essentially. And this is from actually June, but this is still very pertinent, so I will share it. And it's a website or a Facebook page called Unbiased America. I don't know too much about this page, probably controlled if it's still up on Facebook, but there could be little dribbles and kernels of truth and things like that. Let's see, are they Trump-tards or not? Yeah, looks like they are. Okay. Well, anyway, this story was spot on, so I will share this. So it says that young Americans are sour on the LGBTQ movement. And it shows this little chart of how things are going. And I'm just going to read this little blurb that was in this Facebook post. Survey finds young people are becoming less comfortable with the growing number of LGBTQ categories. There's been a sharp decrease in the percent of young people who say they are completely or somewhat comfortable interacting with LGBTQ people. The number of straight Americans aged 18 to 34 who say they are comfortable interacting with LGBTQ people has fallen from 63% in 2016 to 45% in 2018. And the decline is even more pronounced among young males, falling from 62% in 2016 to just 35% last year. Young women also saw a decline over the past 2 years from 65% to 52%. The annual survey conducted by the Harris Poll on behalf of, I'm just going to say LG from now on or something else. I don't know. I just hate saying this word over and over. Got to think of something else to say. I don't know, I'll just say LGBTQ for now on, because I think LG is going to be too confusing. Okay, so it's an advocacy group for them, group by GLAAD, G-L-A-A-D, G-L-A-A-D, who is GLAAD again? GLAAD is a U.S. non-governmental, the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation. Okay, so it's like an ADL for LGBTP people or whatever. Okay. They asked non-LGBTQ Americans about their comfort level in 7 situations. Having an LGBTP member in their place of worship, having a family member who is one, learning that their doctor is one, learning their child has a lesson on LGBT history in school, seeing an LGBT coworker's wedding picture, having their child placed in a class with an LGBT teacher, or seeing a same-sex couple hold hands. The number of people who say they are very or somewhat comfortable with all of the above situations had been rising, but began to decline significantly in 2016. And I'm thinking back to 2016, this agenda has been like full throttle, like pedal to, foot to the pedal, like, going down the highway. Like, this has really been ramped up extremely, I would say, in the last 3 years. Extremely so. So I think people are really just getting annoyed, fed up, just exacerbated or exhausted dealing with this ridiculousness. When GLAAD delved into the numbers, the group found that the younger generation was coming into contact with more LGBTQ people, particularly, quote, non-binary individuals. And that means, because I'm no expert on any of this type of stuff, all these terms that they use. What does that mean again? I'm just trying to explain it the best I can. What does it mean to be non? Okay. It means you don't have a gender identity. Okay. So that means that it's the same thing as what people say is gender queer, I guess. So there's woman, man, and then if someone doesn't identify as a woman or a man, then they're gender queer or non-binary. Okay, so back to the post. So it says that the younger generation is coming in contact with more non-binary individuals. Well, of course, the younger generation has been more poisoned through the media and more exposed to all these terrible toxins and soil and food and air and stuff like that. So a lot of people are probably falling into that gray area of sexuality, whether they even are like a tranny or a homosexual, just because of all of the assaults happening on a psychological level and a physical level and all of those things. So it goes on to say, non-binary categories of gender include a growing number of groups who say that they are neither male or female. And non-binary categories of sexual orientation include a growing number of people who don't conform to gay, straight, or bisexual. Well, this just sounds like an awful lot of people are really confused. GLAAD said it found that young people were becoming less comfortable with the new groups. Well, of course. Who wants to deal with more confusion? Despite the decline in comfort, the survey found that 80% of Americans say they strongly or somewhat support the equal rights for the LGBT community. Well, of course, that's just a simple sentence. So I think a lot of people, if they really knew what was going on, I think that they would possibly not say that they agreed. And it shows this little, I guess, yeah, this little meme shows how there's been a decline with people who are 18 to 34 years old, male and female, and there's a sharper decline with men than there is with women. And of course, this is being all monitored by GLAAD, which is basically like the tranny homo ADL. So I thought that was interesting. And it's nice to see that even in this very confused world that young people, like maybe the Generation Z, I guess, that they're really, I don't know, not putting up with this. Or, you know, noticing that something is going wrong. Just like that article about the youth earlier this week that Kyle authored with the youth giving the Roman salute and things like that. Like, the youth don't care. They're not going to be PC. It's nice to be non-PC when you're a youth. You always do what's not considered to be mainstream. That's one of the things about being a youth. You rebel from what you're shown as the main straight line, and you go zigzag and rebel. And now, this time in history, being normal, just being a normal person that doesn't have crazy colored hair or armpit hair or doesn't know what gender they are or what race they are, it's normal just to be normal. And that's considered the non-majority thing these days. So that's kind of interesting that it's come to that point. All right, moving along. Let's see. Oh, yes. What do I have next? Oh, yeah, I just wanted to mention this, too, that I was just looking up what the origin of the word sex is, because this is a show about sexuality and how it's changed over the years. So the word first came about, supposedly, in the 14th century, and it was meaning at that point males or females collectively, from the Latin sex us, a state of being either male or female gender of uncertain origin. So they're not really sure where the origin comes from. Commonly taken with seco, S-E-C-O, as division or half of the race, which would connect it to the word secare, which means to divide or cut. And also, it means the quality of being male or female. And this was first recorded in the 1520s, meaning sexual intercourse, first attested in 1929 in the writings of D.H. Lawrence, meaning genitalia is attested from 1938, and the word sex appeal attested by 1904. Sex drive is from 1918, sex object is 1901, sex symbol is 1871 in anthropology. The first person to whom the term was applied seems to have been Marilyn Monroe in 1959. Sex therapist is from 1974. And then in 1884, using the word sex as a verb, it means to determine the sex of, or to sex something up, as in increasing the sex appeal. And that was recorded in 1942. And of course, to these people who were have gender dysphoria, they use the word female, intersex, or male. And they're using the word sex and gender separately than we would do. And this is all just so confusing to me. Like, I always think woman, female, those are interchangeable. Male, man, interchangeable, right? But to these people, they've totally taken what I just said and turned it on its head and has it mean completely different things, where your gender is different from your sex, is different from your orientation. And I'm just going to go through this thing. It's called the gender-bred person, and it's this little, like, gingerbread man, and it shows that gender identity is in the head, sexual orientation is in the heart, biological sex is what you see when you look between your legs, and then your gender expression is your whole being. So your gender identity, which is in your head, is either woman, gender queer, or man, and there's like a spectrum for that. And then your gender expression, which is your whole being, that's either female or feminine, not female. That's something totally different. It's either feminine, androgynous, or masculine. And then you have your biological sex, which supposedly is just between your legs, not anywhere else on your body, just there, is either female, intersex, or male. And that would be, I guess, refers to chromosomes and hormones and things like that. And then your orientation, your sexual orientation, is what's, quote, in your heart, which is either heterosexual, bisexual, or homosexual. And sexual orientation is who you are physically, spiritually, and emotionally attracted to based on their sex and gender in relation to your own. So it's based on how feminine they are or masculine, or if they're male or female. So this all just makes this so confusing. This reminds me of like the way critical race theory works. Like it's so retarded, and it has so much fluff that you'd really have to be, I don't know, just completely backwards to even be able to take this stuff in. I mean, it's so dry and so boring and so ridiculous and so incorrect. Well, a lot of this was a bit of news to me. I know they use these words differently, just sometimes I wasn't really aware of how they were using them to define different parts of the body. But this is more of this madness. And of course, this is a form of mind control too. This is confusing people, making them think all these things are different. You know, I mean, could you imagine how confusing all of this would be to someone who's an adult, who's in their 20s or 30s, or even, you know, a little bit younger, a little bit older? But how confusing would this be for a child to figure this stuff out? I mean, this is just horrifying. Horrifying. I mean, to learn about this type of stuff, this is totally useless. Not only is it useless, it's dangerous. So that explains how all of these things are different to these people. All right. And I found something else too when I was just looking at Bing for kind of looking for images for the show description. I type in the word sexuality, and all of this like LGBT, whatever, like all this stuff just comes up. That's all you get. It's almost like when you type in like European history and you get like a bunch of black people, like same thing. So they're hijacking sex the same way they've hijacked race. It's very, very obvious. Seriously, every picture here is all about that. Or they show like two women with their mouths open, like it looks like they're engaged in a sexual embrace. But yeah, that's pretty much what's going on here. Crazy. And now they have all these different things with different, how the male thing is like that circle with the arrow, and the female is the little circle with the cross. They have all these different ones like crossed together or linked together. Yeah, they're definitely fiddling with this. Oh, and I also happened to find this too. Some of this was a bit new to me. There are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Okay. Well, in addition to the tranny flag, there are 11 other flags. I know about the transgender one. I mean, okay, the rainbow flag. That's not just for the trannies. I call it that. But the rainbow flag. And then the other one is the transgender flag, which is white, baby blue, and baby pink. But there are 10 additional ones besides those two. There's one for bisexual, pansexual, asexual, polyamorous, genderqueer, intersexual, straight allies, bear brotherhood, lipstick lesbian, and leather pride. So there are all these subsets within each other. Yeah, pretty crazy stuff. Okay, moving along. Here is something that I had too that was pretty interesting. This is actually really horrifying. And it's about basically how the vaginas they show in all the pornography and stuff where people have gotten these procedures to make their vagina look, I guess, more youthful or like less, I don't know. These people use this part, these parts of their body in really, really horrible ways. What then I really didn't understand this whole together until I really got to this or understood it from this perspective after I read this little thing. But those vaginas that you see in pornography where they've had like a labioplasty or a vagioplasty, that's the same vagina that basically a tranny would have to have because they wouldn't really have any labia because they'd be using scrotal tissue to make the labia. But in an even more horrifying manner, that type of vagina is usually a child's sexual genitals. And they're basically making trannies have those type of genitalia based on what they have to do to these people's bodies when you mutilate a man and try to turn him into a woman. But it's also the look they've been selling us for years before any of us even knew about all this tranny stuff and this, you know, the horrible things happening to children. It looks like child's genitals. And I just thought that was super disturbing when I found that out. And yeah, just really awful. So here's the page where I found it. And this is what the woman who runs this page wrote this. I don't agree with everything that she says, but this was spot on. This is from a page called Asher L. They are selling us little girls' prepubescent slit vaginas as a real woman's vagina. Few women have slit vaginas, and trannies have a vagina without any lips or folds, too. Now guess what the most desirable type of vagina is for porn. Check out Kim Kardashian's, I guess we're talking about that pornography video that she made, to know the truth of this. A real woman's vagina is compared to a flower for a reason, because it has petals. Yeah, so they're basically showing this facsimile of reality, and this is definitely a form of sexual mind control. Those lips enlarge for a reason. They give more friction, especially to the man during lovemaking, and the extra skin is needed during childbirth, so you have more skin to stretch so that you're less likely to tear. Poor women are now cutting off their labia minora in an attempt to look like the porn, to look like how the porn industry are projecting on them now how they must appear, as prepubescent looking vaginas are now seen as the only attractive type to have. Men who prefer this kind of vagina have been mentally sodified and pedified. Absolutely. That is horrifying. And the fact that women are lining up to get probably one of the most sensitive parts of their body to have someone while they're out, you know, like totally like out cold in anesthesia, under anesthesia, do this to them is really, you have to be under a certain type of mind control to want somebody to do this or to do it yourself. And this just seems to be something that people are falling for. And they've been told, of course, just through pornography and things like this, that this part of their body is disgusting. Just like I thought growing up watching a lot of these trannies and the, you know, music industry and things like that. Like I thought there was a problem with the way I looked because, well, I'm not a guy and I'm not taking female hormones to look like a woman, but not knowing that all this deception was going on. Of course, I compared myself to a lot of those women or trannies rather, not knowing that these were not women. I remember a long time ago hearing that a lot of these, quote, you know, actresses gave birth at 8 months with an elective cesarean section. What I really realized is that that was never true. They were probably just wearing one of those moon bumps or, you know, they were using a surrogate or something like that. And they showed them back in their swimsuit like a month later. Like there was no way, like even someone who's super fit, who eats really well, like the body needs time to heal. So this has been deceptive on a reproductive level, on a sexual attractiveness level. Like this is all intertwined with each other. So that's the end of that post, but I thought that was worth sharing because it was horrifying to realize, but it's really not surprising. They almost want to make us to pedophile ourselves. Like they want us to take on these neotenous, like childlike traits, which is not normal. And it's just an easier way for them to slip in their poison. Okay. Moving along. Now let's see what I have next. Let me just look at my notes. Okay. Oh, yes. The next thing I wanted to mention is that I've never been downvoted so much in the comment section in my life than the show last week that I did about 1950s role play. I mean, those could be bots. It could just be a bunch of MGTOW people who are misogynists. But wow, a lot of people were angered, apparently, from the subject matter in that show. Not surprised. I guess this type of information will always bring out, like, some trolls and some retards and people who just plain hate women. But it was just surprising to see just the filth that people still believe this type of stuff. And I didn't say anything bad about men. It wasn't like that. It was about showing that those role-playing relationships and a lot of what was idolized in the 1950s really wasn't all, you know, sunshine and roses, and it really wasn't super healthy, and it wasn't really, I don't know, if it's something that people really want to emulate. I mean, yeah, there were things that were good about the 50s, sure. Like, people ate less, you know, poisoned food. I mean, still after World War II or White War II, the food poisoning agenda really took hold, especially in this country. But there were things in the 50s that were more pleasant. You know, we weren't living in Wi-Fi all the time. People were just, I guess, a little more normal altogether. It seemed like it was a simpler world, but I don't think we want to go back and live like that. I think we can take from that and build on a better future, but just still kind of disgusting that there are still people who are, I guess, shilling this like MGTOW filth. Someone was posting a video from someone who's advocating for white Sharia. I mean, the stuff that I talked about on the show last week was kind of like white Sharia light. I mean, but still disgusting that there's still people like this lurking around. All right. Anyway, going on with that. Oh, yes, something else I noticed. I've noticed that now on YouTube, there tends to be a trend with all of these videos on narcissism. And I have talked about this before in a show a bit back. And it's definitely a thing. And people are becoming more narcissistic and disordered and selfish and just crazed and deluded because the culture is so psychopathic. But I'm getting the feeling, and this is what I feel, I mean, there could be, I probably have to look at this a bit more, and there's probably other agendas working on it as well, but I'm getting the idea that they want everyone to think that everybody is a narcissist. Like everyone's, you know, me, 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 out for themselves, has no empathy, doesn't give a shit about anybody, whatever. And there are a lot of people like that who are filth, like there's no doubt about it. But they want you to think everybody is one of these people. Okay, I was just getting a phone call. They want you to think that everybody is one of these people when that's not true. And I think it's also a way so they can get away with all the crap that they're doing, all the, you know, the censorship and all the, you know, horrible stuff that goes on in this world. I think by putting out this information saying that everybody is one of these people, you know, it lets the people who are at the top who are doing this crap get away with it. So just something that I thought about when I was looking at my homepage. And of course, I've generated some of this material to come my way based on the things that I've watched myself, but it just seems like it is everywhere on YouTube, like everywhere. All right. What else did I want to talk about? Oh, yes. All right. Just moving a bit along, I guess tagging back and forth a bit because I kind of got the show together a little bit short this week, so my notes aren't in total, I guess, order. Oh, here's a word that I learned the other day, and I will be talking about this. I will be using this word for another thing I'm going to mention in a little bit on this show. But here's a word, like in the whole tranny community, this was a new word for me. The word is demi-boy or demi-guy. And this is someone whose gender identity is only partly male, regardless of their assigned gender at birth. They may or may not identify as another gender, in addition to feeling partially like a boy or a man. They may also define their identity as both male and genderless. Alternatively, a demiguy or demiguy can be used to describe someone assigned male at birth who feels but the barest association with that identification, though not a significant enough disassociation to create real physical discomfort or dysphoria. Oh no? Or someone assigned female at birth who is trans masculine but not wholly binary identified, so that they feel more strongly associated with male than female, socially or physically, but not strongly enough to justify an absolute self-identification as man. Okay, that was so confusing. Again, imagine being a little tiny person and like understanding this. Imagine telling this stuff to like a senior. Like imagine going to an old age home and telling this stuff to elderly people. I mean, this is just such shit and such filth. All right, moving on. Okay, so here is the next story I want to talk about. And this has to do with someone who considers themselves this thing. Or this type of thing, of demi-boy, whatever. So I found this by watching that. It was one of the stories that they had mentioned on that Trans Apocalypse channel on YouTube. The guy is, I know he's like Christ-hearted, but he does put out some good information just on that. It seems really the people who put out the best information about a lot of these pedo and sado agendas tend to be Christian. So here is a person who identifies as a genderless alien. So this person's under so much mind control and their sexuality has been so tattered that they now consider themselves a genderless alien. So this person was born female, so it's a woman, and then transitioned to male, and the person's name is Jareth Nebula. So born female and transitioned to male, Jareth Nebula now identifies as a genderless alien. And I'm going to read this a little bit. And I'm also just going to say that before this person transitioned, this person was a model and quite pretty. This is a white woman. Very, very sad to see this. This is almost like a slow death. When I view stuff like this, I just think that you're watching the person self-destruct and kill themselves over a long period of time. And that's probably more painful than just having someone do it all in one fell swoop. So I'm going to read this little article about this person. This person's also a cyborg and a doll, as well as an alien. They are an alternative modified model. They are transgender and agender. What's agender mean again? See how confusing this is? It's unbelievable. What does agender mean? Okay, agender means not identifying with any gender. Okay, so this person's a tranny and has no gender. Okay, that seems like the opposite thing, because usually when you're a tranny, aren't you transitioning to the opposite gender that you think you are? But this person has no gender. So they're a tranny that went from male to female, but they have no gender. It's like that rabbi saying that oral genital mutilation, whatever they call it, Brit Zizipah, whatever, that the saliva had medical benefits. That's like on the same level of insanity that this is. This person is disabled too, they're mentioning, and this person wants to be called he or it. Usually they don't like being called that word it, but this person wants to be called it. All right, so now the article. In an attempt to find their identity, Jareth Nebula initially transitioned from female to male, but it didn't suffice. So that means it didn't take. Here they show the person posing in a bathroom with a lot of different makeup on, short shaved hair on the sides and like a hair on the top, but that is short too. Jareth Nebula transitioned from female to male when they like to use that word, they were 29 years old. Unwilling to publicly disclose their birth name, the now 33-year-old's new legal moniker was inspired by David Bowie's character Jareth the Goblin King from Jim Henson's 1986 cult classic fantasy film Labyrinth. The Washington State native and barbershop receptionist was disappointed to find that the gender transition didn't seem to fill that lifelong void which inspired them to go through with it in the first place. Thus, Jareth decided to label themselves as an agender or genderless and as an alien. Agender means that Jareth is genderless or gender neutral, as opposed to being gender fluid, which refers to a person whose gender identity is not fixed, or a person who feels they could be a mix of both genders. So I guess one could be transsexual and transgender, right? I guess those, this is all so, so zoggling. This newfound identity was no mere intellectual move, though, as it included Jareth to have their nipples removed. So not just a mastectomy, but I guess a nippleectomy too. And to adorn their face with a swath of piercings and to wear an otherworldly layer of makeup to, quote, look less human. So it sounds like this person has really, really bad gender dysphoria, like a very, very severe, like there is a spectrum of people who have this this brain damage or mental disease or whatever it is. This person would really be off the charts. And not only was this woman very pretty, she had beautiful light eyes before all of this. Now wearing a lot of these like really weird looking contacts. "I don't think or feel like humans," said Jareth Nebula. "I can't really explain it to others. I'm simply otherworldly. I didn't feel comfortable as either gender or even anything in between. But I know I'm stuck in a human form and that's how I'm perceived by others. But to me, I'm an alien with no gender." So not only was this person born with the wrong biological genitals, but this person was also born in the wrong body. Like not just the wrong body as a female body, but also just the wrong body as being a human. So this is really deep stuff. They show a person, they show a picture of her here. And she has like two X's, like it looks like electrical tape, like over the area where nipples would be. Modern social acceptance of the LGBTQ community has generally come a long way. The Supreme Court legalized homosexual marriage in June 2015, and homosexual pride parades annually abound. There has been a big increase in those parades since 2015, it seems. Unfortunately, a lot of work remains to be done as a 2018 FBI report showed a heavy increase in reported hate crimes. Jareth's particular identity could rightfully come across as bizarre to even the most accepting members of society, though they don't appear to have been inspired to transition by the fight against bigotry, but rather by a disease Jareth was diagnosed when they were 26. And it says, Ehlers-Danlos syndrome, EDS, is a group of disorders that affect the connective tissue in the skin, bone, and blood vessel. This is what this person has. And it can produce overflexible joints, which Jareth said garnered them the nickname Mr. Elastic and was a fun party trick during their adolescence. It was after this diagnosis that Jareth felt they were fundamentally different than other human beings. After being a hyper-feminine female who regularly modeled, Jareth began taking testosterone and got their breasts removed, but none of it went far enough. "I thought being a trans man would solve all my issues and inner battles with finding out who I was, but I was as happy as I expected to, but I wasn't as happy as I expected to be," said Jareth. "I felt like I was trying to fit into someone else's box. I didn't want to be constrained, and that's when I discovered what agender was." And they show a picture with all different types of face and chest makeup. And it's very weird to see a chest with not only any breasts, but no nipples at all. It's just very alien-like. Jareth Nebula wears neon and pastels and has a penchant for contemporary Japanese pop culture. and routinely shaves off their eyebrows while wearing lip, septum, and nose bridge piercings. I've always been obsessed with aliens, too, and what it means to be extraterrestrial. So the idea of being an agender alien fit perfectly as an identity for me, said Jareth. I don't have nipples, and as I had them removed during my trans top surgery. While none of us could possibly know what it means to be an extraterrestrial, Jareth was entirely committed to finding out and further removed themselves from either gender to do so. Their family completely supports their transition from female to male, but has found it difficult to see their child as an alien. Well, that is a difficult thing to deal with, absolutely. I mean, to watch someone kind of self-destruct right in front of your eyes slowly is probably horrifying, especially for a parent. My family still sees me as a trans man because they don't understand what agender or alien really means, said Jareth. I have online friends who support me, but offline is harder. Not everyone understands, but that's okay. I don't expect them to get it. I only want acceptance. It's always so weird that I thought about this for a while, that these people want acceptance, but they go out of their way to look and behave oftentimes in a way that alienates other people. So I think this is probably, in years to come, this will probably be diagnosed as part of a personality disorder, I would think, this type of dysphoria. That's where I think this is going. While the seeming majority of the United States would presumably have no problem accepting someone such as Jareth in their independent quest for purpose and identity, it's difficult to pinpoint what exactly acceptance in this context means, besides physical or verbal attacks, of course. Unfortunately, Jareth claimed that they're frequently abused and attacked both on and offline. People treat me like a freak because I'm an alien, but it's a completely valid thing to call yourself, said Jareth. It really isn't. I mean, that's just the fact that someone would say that just shows that how unwell this person is. Who is anyone to tell you who you can or can't be? If someone wants to identify as anything, even an animal, let them. No. Jareth Nebula seems, by all accounts, as though their decision to think of themselves as an alien has improved their life. I feel sorry for people who attack me online, they said. I think they lack empathy and just want to target me, so I deal with it pretty well, by brushing it off. I'm happy with who I am and will continue to become more alien-like every day. After reading about the female-to-male transgender who now identifies as a genderless alien, read about the transgender man who gave birth to a boy. Okay, I'm not going to be reading that. And responded to his haters. Then learn about Canada's being the world's first nation to recognize babies as genderless. And then someone wrote in the comments of this, this is what happens when we pretend mental illness is something other than mental illness. Absolutely. There and them, is there more than one it of them? That's probably the best comment thus far. Yeah, so this is, and then of course someone says, I get this feeling of neither or something totally different, and I applaud for being brave and living your life the way you want. If someone doesn't feel like they're a human, that sounds like some type of disassociative disorder. It doesn't sound like the person should mutilate their body, even beyond what's considered by societal standards of mutilation. I mean, this is like still, this probably freaks out some trannies, this type of stuff, you know? But this should not be the treatment or the way somebody goes if this is what they're dealing with. And this person has a rather active Instagram, about 7,600 followers, so a decent amount of followers. Most pictures are getting about 500, 1,500 views in some ways. And every picture is this person pretty much just dressed up in some wild, like, candy-colored outfit, a lot of pastels, and very much of a pedo vibe, like a pedo alien vibe. I mean, this is just so crazy. Here's a woman who is quite pretty, beautiful eyes, decides to become a guy, then decides to become an alien, and now is wearing this, like, really weird, like, I don't know, kind of, like, very childlike fashion. Like, this is some weird angle to all this child predator type of stuff. It's really crazy. Like, here's one picture where it is wearing like a rainbow sweater that kind of looks like the thing like a child would be wearing, a big bow in their hair like a child, this collar that has like charms that a child would probably play with but not wear as like a dog collar. This was like a dog collar. And then these crazy shoes that have a very childlike design. It's like pink with a bunch of different hearts, but it has this humongous like rainbow colored like chunky platform. It's like those shoes a lot of those like people who identify as like rockabilly wear. That was like a random style a while back. And then it's wearing those little kind of, what do you even call those, bloomers? Like if you'd see a doll would have underneath them, those little kind of like shorts that kind of have like a frilly edge to them, wearing that. I mean, this person is basically representing or trying to represent a non-human infantilized human who's genderless and trans. Like this is just a way to get away with sickening and poisoning people and harming children. And it's just, this is crazy. All these looks, I mean, a lot of these colors remind me of back in the 90s, people who were probably, young or, you know, coming up of age in that generation, remember that company called Lisa Frank that had all those really, really colorful binders and pens and pencils and folders, and it had a lot of unicorns and pink and pastels. I liked some of that stuff when I was in, I guess, my preteens or my early teens. I think a lot of girls did, but it looks like that look, this look is totally inspired by like that type of color palette or feel. There's also like a bit of a gothy type of death vibe associated with this too. Like in some pictures, like here's one of like a, this person has of like a doll that's all scarred up looking all gothy. And here's one of a Cyclops doll. I mean, yeah, just people are really into, lack of a better word, a grotesque aesthetic. It really isn't an aesthetic, but there's definitely something to this genderless alien look that's throwing in like the pedo Lolita type of like clothing and stuff. It's really gross. Okay, enough of that. Just sad to see this variant of white genocide in place. Yeah, this is really, really crazy stuff. Wow. Okay. I will not look at this anymore. All right, moving along to the next story. Okay, so now I wanted to talk about a woman who tans like crazy. And no, it's not that woman, Martina Big, that German woman who has like the biggest like set of boobs or one of the biggest set of boobs in the world who now has become, quote, a black woman. That woman is also someone I'm going to mention right now, but it's another woman who's doing this who's young. She's like 22 years old. She's Irish, beautiful, but she's become a tanning addict. And I want to just play this little video about it. And this is just another form of someone being completely under mind control, you know, thinking that this is an attractive look. And it's, I mean, yeah, everyone likes to look good and have a tan. I get that. And there's a healthy amount of time that each of us can spend on the sun, depending on, you know, many factors for every different person. But this person has taken the look to an extreme, and it's crazy. And here's a little bit about this video. This is the blurb. This is a YouTube video. Super tanned Hannah Tittensor, kind of an unusual last name, takes sunbeds to such an extreme level that she sometimes gets mistaken for a different race. But the beauty therapy student wants people to know, I'm not racist. I just really like having a tan. Hannah, 22, from Belfast, Northern Ireland, is Caucasian, or, you know, Europoid is a better word. That Caucasian word is means not just whites. Okay, so I'm going to correct that. From Belfast, Northern Ireland, is Europoid or white, but became addicted to tanning when she got, quote, an amazing tan on holiday while in Turkey in 2015. A photo from the trip shows how she completely changed color from her natural white to a dark brown. Notice they don't call her white in this little blurb. They just say that her natural white colored skin and that she was Caucasian. But her remarkable color isn't just down to the sun. Hannah uses under-the-counter tanning injections of a substance called melanotan, which users take to get darker more quickly under sunlight or sun beds. And while Hannah admits that she is at the extreme end, she says she is part of a growing trend in tanning in Belfast, which many are using the illegal drug. This video has got a lot of views, almost 2 million views. And I'll just first say that a while ago, I saw this video where in Southeast Asia, I'm forgetting what country it was, but all these women and men too were putting these creams on their body, on their skin, on their face, and doing these injections to make themselves look lighter or more white. And they were getting more modeling jobs and had more status in the society. So it's really quite a mind fuck what a lot of people are doing just because of what they think they have to do. It's or who they think they have to emulate based on whatever media mind control they're getting about their sexuality. And I noticed in this video of this woman, I guess you'd say she is a tanning addict. She almost looks like a black woman who's trying to look white. Like it's really crazy. Like she's got dark skin, but she's got like the plastic surgery on her face. I think it's probably mostly injectables. I don't think it's any razor stuff or under the knife stuff. She looks like someone who's black, who's trying to look white. And she has like cotton candy colored hair, and it's about up to, I guess, her chin or so. And also it's that kind of like that doll look too. Like I mentioned before on that show I did with Colwyn about, the blondes on that show, kind of like emulating this look about dolls, which I'm seeing a lot on Instagram. And this also totally is part of pedo agenda. I mean, come on, this is part of a whole child rape thing. I mean, having adults like think that they're dolls, like looking like little children, having this candy colored hair, like having all these costumes, even adults I've seen in different videos painting their faces to look like dolls. Like this is really, really crazy, really sick stuff. So I'm going to play this video. It's about 7 minutes long, but I think it's worth hearing. And it sounds like she really just doesn't like being white either. And she has a boyfriend who's also doing the tanning stuff, but not nearly as much as her. All right, so here is the video, or for you guys, I guess, the audio.
Other girls were like, I can't live without having my nails done, this, that, and the other. I just can't live without having a tan. It's pure and simple. It makes me happy. That was in my life. Remember I told you I was so, so dark. I love Instagram. That's my most liked picture. It's got 1,582 likes. It's me and my friend. All girls on Instagram that I see, girls I know, all wear a fake tan or get spray tans. So why not do some bits instead of wearing makeup on your body, basically?
People said that I wanted to be a black woman and was trying to switch races and stuff.
Just because I'm tanning.
Do I really care? These people don't actually know me.
I'm gonna head for a sunbed. Got an XOXO. Basically, I'll close my wee shutter and I'll go down. And then I get in and there's a wee start button. I just press the start button and it'll all just flash up and come on. It makes your complexion look a lot like nicer. Like glowing, you kind of get a glow. Like your skin's looks a lot better. That's what I like about it. When I was younger, I always wore a fake tan and I hated it because I see when it washes off, it starts going patchy and like, I hate the smell. But then obviously, when I started going out with Ben, he was already doing some bed. And then my brother came in one day and he was so dark. And we were like, what happened? Like, how did you get that color? He's like, oh, tanning injections. And then Ben started taking them, and he loved them, and he was so, so dark.
It's called melanotan too. It basically changes the melanin in your skin, so it will make you darker than you're normally meant to be.
was like, oh my god, that's quite frightening. You know, like injecting something into your body, but it's really not that bad. Okay, and it kind of is like, but it doesn't hurt. The only side effect would be like the first like few days of taking it, you feel sick and it sort of suppresses your appetite. But some people would say that that's a good thing. So yeah, I like it. I don't know. It became more of like an obsession, sort of where you need to be tan more than like actually feel better when I'm actually tan.
Me and Ben have obviously been coming here for like two times a week, three times a week. We started off at 12 minutes, and obviously it's just start to build like a colour. You're able to obviously handle more.
Are these guys the most tanned in Belfast?
well, could be, probably.
I don't really see it as anything extraordinary, really. I just feel like me.
So basically, this is what it looks like. It's quite easy to get. Everyone's able to get it now. Like, there's loads of Facebook pages and we're like selling tan. Like, the nasal sprays are really, really big at the minute. But we've never tried nasal spray. We should share one bottle. And it would last for like 2 weeks. If you're taking it.
It lasts about a month.
If you're taking it every night. Other people attack me online. Just that kind of thing. I have a few people, obviously, who do say nice things. If you type in blackface onto Instagram or even Google, my name will come up. Just for having a tan. Quite an extreme tan, I know that, but...
I don't really know much about the health risks of the tan injections, but I haven't seen any, like, really bad things happen so far.
Cancer does like run in my family. I'll probably be more prone to maybe getting skin cancer. So I think it's just a matter of obviously getting your moles checked and being safe. I don't know if it's at an extreme color. It's maybe because I'm used to looking at myself. I don't really understand if it's too much or not. I just see myself as, oh, this is me now.
No one in my family's ever got cancer, so in my head, I think cancer's like genetic, like, so I don't really worry about myself, but sometimes I would worry about Hannah, because she does more minutes than me in the sunbed as well. She would do like 15 when I would do like 10.
She's really dark, but she doesn't think it, but she is. For this whole side of too many sunbeds with skin cancer and stuff, there's a risk of the cancer, but there's no talking to Hannah. Hannah's Hannah. Her whole image is all to do with insecurity, I think. And she, without all that, she's absolutely stunning, and she just doesn't know it. So, doesn't listen to you when you tell her anyway.
I just am white, and I like to be overly tan. And that's all, really. It's pretty harmless. I'm sort of happy at the colour we are at the minute, because obviously I have been told to look silly when I'm really, really, really dark. So I'm sort of keeping it a normal colour.
So where does it go from here?
Well, stays the same?
Just stay the same. No darker at the minute. Till we go on holiday in the summer, probably. And that'll probably spark up again a load of abuse. Because we're used to it by now.
Okay. So that was pretty crazy. If you guys could see the video, you would see just how dark she is. And she's also like super, super skinny. I think a little too lean. And definitely looks like one of those kind of black girls on Instagram that everyone's trying to like emulate that look, whether they be black or white or whatever race they are, where they're trying to emulate this look that seems to be a look that a lot of black women tend to do. So it's just really very weird how all of this is working and how people can just be so controlled and so, I guess, pulled in with what they think looks good, you know, or what they think will kind of enhance their sexuality. And to the contrary, I mean, she looked, I think, way better before she was doing all of this. I mean, this is just another type of extreme, like the woman who thinks she's an alien who cut her body parts off. And here's a woman who wants to be super dark. I mean, just really, really sick, the way people are falling for all these booby traps. But there are so many out there. Yeah. All right, moving along. So I did have something that was a little bit on the healthier side to share. Let's see. Oh, yes. Okay, so here are just some ways to kind of, I guess, work with our own sexuality in a healthy way, not an unhealthy way. And just a couple of, just a couple of tips that I thought would just add a little bit of positivity to this show. So it's ways to elevate your libido. Sexuality is the body's intelligence at work. In this potent article, somatic sex educator Keanu Reeves shows us how to use movement, nourishment, and awareness to bring us into our bodies, our sensuality, and to activate our libido, which is a crucial expression of our health. Libido is the energy of the sex drive as a biological component of the life instinct, which means it is inherent in everything we do and a driving force in our creative expression. Sexuality is hardwired into our biology and is an innate part of our being human. When we are out of balance in one or more areas of our life, nature can sometimes suppress that drive, perceiving we are under threat, often due to high levels of stress or an imbalance in the body. This is the body's intelligence at work. Fluctuations in libido are normal, and many factors play a role in what enhances or diminishes the desire for sexual and sensual experiences. In fact, the experience of libido or lack of it is a perfect example of where emotional, biochemical, and lifestyle choices converge to impact whether or not we feel like having sex. Our own emotional relationship with sex colors our experiences. Our hormones and neurotransmitters govern our biological drive, and our life choices deeply feed into both the emotional and biochemical component. Using some of the tools below may help you bolster that essential part of yourself. Be gentle with yourself, especially if you are going through life changes, including hormonal shifts from pregnancy or through menopause. We are creatures of the tides and cycles that run through our bodies. What is essential to us will always return when there is enough space. So exercise, of course, is one of the best things to do, because it creates a homeostasis in the body, flushes the lymph, nourishes the organs, and keeps everything in an optimal functioning mode. Sleep, of course, getting deep sleep. And according to TCM, or traditional Chinese medicine, the yin plays an important role in the sleep function. These are the nourishing fluids of the body, and those include the blood, the hormones, and their interstitial fluid. So it's really important to get good sleep to nourish the yin and to deepen the sleep. And this author says, in the mornings I make an adaptogenic tonic to help my body adapt to stress, and every night I drink a high-quality magnesium supplement and with organic CBD. I, of course, would recommend more of the transdermal approach to magnesium. I think it's a little easier on the digestive tract. And also has a cup of nettle tea to help unwind. That's always good, too, to nice have a sleep ritual as well. Adrenal support. Adrenals play a major role in the experience of libido. When the body is stressed, it produces cortisol, which helped our ancestors with the fight or flight response when faced with a predator. Well, it helps us, too, I guess, if we're near a predator. Just we have different predators in modern day than we did many years ago. These bouts of high control were supposed to be short-lived and balanced out by periods of deep down regulation. In today's modern life, especially if you live in an urban area, we are bombarded by stressors. Cortisol is highly inflammatory, and inflammation is now understood to be one of the greatest contributors to chronic illness. Absolutely. Pregnenolone is one of the mother hormones in our body that converts into both sex and stress hormones. When our cortisol remains at constant high, the pregnenolone our body makes goes to producing cortisol instead of the sex hormones used to fuel our reproductive and sexual functions. So how can you support your adrenals if they are running on overdrive? Following the suggested advice for sleep and moderate exercise is key, and then cutting out stress. No supplement in the world will help if you are living in a high-stress environment every day. Supplementing with a few useful adaptogens can be helpful too. And adaptogens, of course, are plants that help your body to respond to external stressors. Some favorites include ashwagandha, lion's mane mushroom, reishi mushroom, CBD, and rhodiola. In addition, eating foods high in B vitamins and C will also support adrenal health. And lastly, elemental medicine. When we feel disconnected from our sensuality, it is often because we are living in our head and not in our bodies. And I would say that these two women who I spoke about, the genderless alien and the tanning addict, they're definitely not living in their bodies. They're living in their head. Our entire lives are lived and felt through our bodies, yet we are habitually in our heads about everything. Using the elements as a physical reminder of your essential nature is powerful. Spending some time naked under the sun and absorbing vitamin D, swimming in a natural body of water, getting your hands and feet in the dirt, and spending enough time in there that you begin to hear your busy mind quiet. Bring the elements in as a way to connect with your partner is also powerful. Sitting around an outdoor fire together, climbing a tree, remembering the essence of your playful self will likely also feed the part of you that is curious, hungry for life, and full of desire. So that is that little article. I always like to read or talk about something that is a little on the positive side, because a lot of this other stuff is just not so much like, you know, negative, like everything has to be good vibes only. It's not like that, but a lot of this information is just heavy, I'd say, in a certain way. All right. What else do I have to go over? Oh, yes. Okay. One more thing. All right. So this is going to be a little bit of a shorter show this evening, but I'm going to switch gears now and pretty much done talking about all this stuff with sexuality and mind control and all this. But it's definitely pretty obvious that this is something that's causing a lot of people on a path to self-destruction. A lot of people are probably going to have regrets based on doing things, whether it was an extreme, quote, beauty treatment, like the tanning or any of these other things people are doing, extreme stuff like removing someone's, you know, breasts or genitals or taking these hormones, getting all these crazy tattoos. I mean, I think these people are really going to deeply regret this. I mean, it's one thing to rebel as a youth and go against the grain, but this is not rebelling. This is really conforming and toxifying yourself. And there are plenty of ways that you can rebel without being toxic. And these examples that I've given, I think, clearly represent super toxicity on many different levels and in many different ways. And this two really pretty white women, young, who are, you know, one of them 33, one of them 22, who have, you know, destroyed themselves in a certain way. And it's really sad to see. This is just two people. I mean, I'm sure there's many other people. I'm sure there's men also who have done things to themselves that they're probably going to regret. And of course, youth is one of those things where, yeah, we do make mistakes sometimes, but we do stuff where we date the wrong person, hang out with the wrong people, trust the wrong people, eat the wrong food. I don't know, do the wrong stuff to ourselves in regards to beauty treatments and stuff like that, or whatever it may be, but we learn from it and we're able to rebound from it. When people are doing these crazy things, like injecting themselves with this tanning stuff or getting part of their body removed, like there's kind of no going back from that. and all the things people are doing these days, which they think are edgy, there's no coming back from that. Like, you dye your hair some dumb color when you're a teenager, or you eat a load of shit food. I mean, hopefully you can rebound from that. But these people aren't going to be able to rebound from what they're doing to themselves. Like, it's permanent. And that, of course, is going to add to more of the bad feelings they already had before they did what they did, which they thought was going to soothe themselves. So that's what I have to say about that. And now I want to share a little racial story time. Yep, it's time for another racial story. So this happened to me on Tuesday. Over the weekend, I had ordered some coconut cream on Amazon. I like that, by the way. I'm not remembering the name of the person who wrote that in the comments section of the article I wrote about all the anti-white books on Amazon, but thank you, because I really like the way that sounds, and it's so obvious. It's just the N, changing the N to a G. So I was on Amazon last week, and I ordered a case of coconut cream because I wanted to make some coconut whipped cream and a bunch of other stuff. So I ordered that, and it arrived on Tuesday, and I happened to be home at my house, and all of a sudden I heard this really loud thunk, super loud. And I was in the upstairs of the house, and I heard it from downstairs. And I thought, oh, okay, maybe it's just someone doing some construction, because there's a lot of that going on right now. So I figured, okay. So I saw a young black youth, a Negro, walking back to a van, like an Amazon van. So I went downstairs after he had drove away, and I saw that there was a box there, and it was the coconut cream. So I brought it inside, and I opened it up. And the cans were dented, no surprise there. But I kept on thinking to myself throughout the day, I'm like, huh, I'm like, that sound was really, really loud. It really didn't feel like or sound like he had just, quote, slammed it or dropped it down like with full force. It sounded like it was way more than that. So there happens to be one of those little cameras outside the house, and later on played back the tape. And clearly, you can see that he basically stepped up to the stoop and pretty much bowled it into the screen door. Yeah, he pretty much threw it like it was a bowling ball, and it hit into the screen door. And it was such a loud thunk because it was six cans of coconut cream. So that was the loud noise that I heard. And he just basically threw it into the screen door, super loud, like this booming noise, and then just took a picture of it and sent that picture like they usually, the delivery drivers usually do to, you know, Amazon headquarters. And that was that. So I phoned Amazon customer service. I told them exactly what happened. All the guy on the phone said to me was, oh, I'm sorry about that. And he sounded like an African immigrant. Like, he sounded like someone who was like fresh off the boat, like from Africa. He really didn't seem concerned. And I even asked him if he wanted the video. And they're like, no, you don't have to send it to us. Like, I actually had the clip, like, in my email. Like, I was ready to send the clip. Like, this is disgusting. I mean, what if this person is doing this to other people? You know? I mean, I'm probably not the only person that they've done this to, you know? I was just really just pissed off by that. And I've noticed a lot of these delivery drivers are black. This is the first time that this has happened where someone's damage the goods and, you know, thrown at the house. I mean, ugh, I just can't imagine doing something like that. If I was a delivery driver, I would try to make sure the person got their package in a safe and sound way. I wouldn't bowl it into someone's door. I was just really pissed off by that and thought it was very disgusting, but that I would share the story with other people and perhaps they could relate to it. So that is that. So I guess I will leave everybody here for the end of this show. I hope everybody enjoyed the subject matter, and I will talk to everybody next week. Good night.